Welcome back to Cores and Courts. It is your host, Sean Kavanaugh. Been away a little bit. Jumping right back in with a voice you've heard on the show before, my boy Luke Akinsola, coming straight from North Carolina, where he just saw maybe the greatest rapper of this generation, Kendrick Lamar, live in concert in Charlotte last night, the Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers tour. I just saw him last week in Tampa, and that's exactly what we're going to talk about. The set was incredible. So many things to get into. Luke, how's it going? Let me get your first thoughts just off the top. First initial reactions to what stood out morning after. You're dealing with the post-concert depression. You had that super high. You were on the floor. You were right there. Some of your videos were insane. Kendrick was with his Michael Jackson glove, was basically touching you. What were some of your first reactions? And we'll get, you know, a little deeper dive into some of the elements of the show, because it really was like a play-like production. It was so much more than just a rap concert.
Yeah, bro, it was insane. I don't know how I'm currently working right now, or I'm getting anything done at the moment, or I guess we're not working. I'm not working because I'm chopping it up with you. But yeah, man, it was crazy. Being right there front and center, first of all, was something I was like, you know what? Like, this is a once in a generational type of artist. So, like, I don't mind shelling out some bread to, you know what I'm saying, see him up close. Like, I'm not trying to be, you know, in the stands or be, like, in the nosebleeds to see something. Like, I want to be close. Yeah. And, yeah, man, like, I think it's interesting because any rap show I go to, specifically, like, J. Cole, Dollar in a Dream, 2014, it was, like, popping, like, when he this was right before, or I guess it was after Born Center, right after Born Center. He went around the country. Ticket sales were $1 to get into the show. But like at that venue, it was just,
no one does that anymore.
Yeah. It was just, it was incredible. Like just the vibe, like the atmosphere is very, very, personal. Just with, you know, it was like 1,000 people in the venue. But like, that's the best rap show I've ever been to, best concert I've ever been to. And I think obviously with the stadium tour or stadium show is going to be a lot different. But I think Kendrick, you know, he gets right into it. You know what I'm saying? Not a lot of conversation in between songs, explaining inspiration behind, you know, all the different songs that were on his list. He just gets right into it, which I think is, you know, his personality. Like, he's not going to be out here. Like, you don't see him doing press runs, and he's not on the Breakfast Club or whatnot. So I respected that. And I think, like, honestly, man, a takeaway just from last night, like, I've been texting some of my boys, like, Gen Z is popping, yo. Like, Gen Z, like, like, honestly, like, I get frustrated with just to be completely honest, the lack of awareness and just some covert racist and prejudiced tendencies by majority culture, at least like in my community. And like Gen Z, they're going to eradicate that, man. Like, they are for the culture. They're like out here doing like the most, but like, I respect it, having a good time. And like, bro, I was holding my own, you know, in the mosh pits, but I couldn't hang, bro.
That's actually one of the topics I wanted to get into, is because we'll just do it now before we get into the set list. I was kind of shocked, like, walking up. I went with my brother and sister, who are 17 and 15, so they are the definition of Gen Z. They literally teach me things, you know. I feel so old being 27, even though we're young. It's like sometimes I throw out a word and I'm like, have to ask them, what the heck does it mean, or, you know, what is this TikTok trend or whatever. So they keep me young and educated on some of the things that I don't know. But my first reaction walking into the arena was like, oh, this crowd's younger than I would expect. And like, they were kind of looking around. They're like, oh, I didn't really notice. Like, it seems different age groups. And I was like, no, I feel like a little bit on the older end, which.
Let me ask you this real quick. Did you look in the stands and like how's the spread as far as just the age range with people? Or I don't know where you were sitting exactly, but like just like throughout the venue.
Yeah. So I was basically like at the club level seat. So it's like the second deck, but like pretty good seats, but not like on the floor, you know? Mm-hmm. But just walking in, like the age range, I thought it was a little bit, I mean, there was obviously a range. The oldest, I probably maybe, you know, people in their 30s and stuff. There's like a few couples in there. The couple that came and sat next to us were some drunk Hispanic couple who was his guy was really into it. And the girl was just like there for a good time. You know, you could tell like the guy would get up for all the old songs. He knew none of the new album, but anytime one of the older songs came up, he got up so hype, was bumping into me. I was like, okay, dude, it's you're having a good time, but like you just could tell like this guy was, you know, there more to be seen because he knew some of the old Kendrick songs and just trying to bring his girl to impress her.
Yeah.
And so there was like that age, but then like everyone else was almost, like I said, I felt like a little bit older for the group, which was interesting because, you know, Kendrick is what, he's like, oh, is he 40? He's over 40.
He's
right?
35.
Oh, he's only 35. Mm-hmm. Still, that's, you know, it's not like this SoundCloud generation, as they call it, the mumble rappers, the kids you're like, are up there and you're like, oh my God, this kid's younger than me, you know? Even like Travis Scott is on the older end of that spectrum of what's really popular. You know, we're talking about Cardi and all those guys.
For sure.
So I was a little bit surprised because, you know, Kendrick popped off. He really blew up when we were like in high school and stuff, like way back then in college. Yeah. So he's been around a minute. So to have his most, well, not his most, because To Pimp a Butterfly won a Pulitzer Prize, but to have one of his most like,
it's crazy,
socially conscious albums, I guess, or have an album that's so, you know, doesn't really have a radio hit. It doesn't have, I mean, he threw on Kodak Black, but he doesn't have like a lot of like mainstream sounds on there. You know, it's very introspective. He's talking about his dealings with like what he's gone through in therapy and this and that. Is, you know, it's heavy topic matter.
Yeah.
To have that album bring out this generation. And my brother is a spitting example of, he knew every word.
Bro, it's wild.
Like bars, you know, 50-year-old white kid, and like you do more words than I do did about the album that came out a couple of years ago. And it's just amazing how that this type of album was able to resonate with that generation that most people kind of assume is, you know, just here to rage and they're all about K-pop and this, and they have no attention span. And to have the attention span to learn these like really intricate lyrics of a hour plus album was really interesting to me.
Yeah, bro, I agree with you 1,000%. I think like two things or two points, just from you saying what you just said that come to mind. Like, I think first of all, Charlotte, I'm in Charlotte, and it's an interesting place, man. You mentioned that there are people like in their 30s or and whatnot, like in Tampa, and like they're couples in like their mid 50s, like even 60s, to be real. And I don't know, I was like, that's when you know, and like when you think about it, like 10 plus years Kendrick has been relevant, so, and like a lot has happened in a 10-11 year span. So I think like it's just a testament of like his true artistry, and like how if you're authentic to your craft and you present your true self and your music, like you're going to attract all different types of people. I think secondly too, I lost my train of thought.
Right, so while you regain your train of thought there. Yeah. I think the generation thing, one of the fascinating things you said too, was about the, how they're going to kind of eradicate some of those racial tendencies and stuff that you were talking about, of some of the stereotypes and things like that, of just like how they're ingrained into the culture, and how this generation, despite their, I don't know, lack of, which I think is more of just like a teenager thing. It's just being young, right? You don't really care about other people. You're less aware of what's going on. You know, you're more likely to just bump into somebody and not apologize because you're a young kid. You're so kind of focused on yourself.
Yeah.
But to have that ability of like come together, and I see it, you see it all the time. I think that's kind of one of the reasons that I love going to concerts so much, is you see so many of those things get stripped down and just people unified by like the same song and coming together with that same music. and is kind of like, because there is a little bit, like, not to stand on my soapbox and be an old guy and like these young whippersnappers aren't all they're cracked up to be, because they are doing a great job of kind of eliminating those things and being more open to people. But there's still, you know, like, you look on the internet and they are like the internet generation, and like internet comment sections are still the worst place in the world. And, you know, they're trying to dox people and cancel people and all this crap. So it is nice to see that them in person, like in real life, they are, you know, like, so much as the internet comment section, there is still parts of it where, you know, I mean, I stood in line and got a shirt with my siblings, but there's still a lot of that. That merch line was so long, you know, people don't really care. They're shelling out, they're buying a bunch of shirts, and they kind of all like starting to dress the same because of TikTok and because, you know, like the internet and globalization and stuff like that. It's
for sure.
It is interesting to see like how they are still acting in some of the same ways, even though they claim to be so different.
Yeah, no, I got my thought back just with the Gen Zers and the younger generation. I think another reason why they, like, you saw, like, there are definitely a lot of young fans, especially like on the floor at the show. Like, this was definitely his most vulnerable piece of work. Like, he was very introspective, like you mentioned. And yeah, it was definitely peeling off a lot of layers with, you know, daddy issues, like lust issues, this, that, and the third. And I think, like, yeah, mental health has become, like, that conversation has become, like, trendy in, like, a good way. But, you know, like, it's just, we're talking about it a lot more. And I think, like, this is really a lot of what Gen Z knows. So I think they're able to identify with, like, the message just because they're kind of coming into their own, you know, as they're hearing, like, this, you know, main A-list hip hop act through the airwaves. So yeah, man, it's neat to see, and I respect it. I'm here for it. And just kind of like to your point too, it's funny, like, I bought the ticket and went dolo. Like, I went by myself. I was like, man, like, yeah. Y'all not trying to drop bread with me, like my friends, like, cool, like, I'm not missing out on this. So first time going to a concert by myself, honestly, like,
it's heavily underrated, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's a move, bro. Like, straight up, it's a move. And there are, like, so many people. Like, I saw, shout out to Moses Masulu. We went to school with them, but saw Moses there with some friends and hung out with him for a little bit. Yeah, outside of that, like, chilled for the most part by myself. But they're, like, mad people just, like, coming up to me. Like, I was wearing a Dodgers hat. They're like, yo, like, are you from LA? I was like, nah, like, they're just my initials.
At least you have a reason, though.
Yeah.
Have a reply when you say, like, no, I don't care about baseball.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I think, kind of like to your point, just, yeah, bro, like, people, like, are actually, like, especially in that type of setting, like, they want to get to know you, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's neat.
It's the easiest place to make friends.
For sure.
If you're by yourself.
Which you wouldn't be.
Yeah. I've said it many times on this podcast and to people in person, it is heavily underrated. As soon as you find someone who's done it too, you, like, have that little bond, and because it also gives you, like, a sense of self-satisfaction, because so many people think that's one of the few places they can never go alone.
Mm-hmm.
Once you do it, you, like, kind of feel empowered in a way. It's cool.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
All right. So the set list, immediately the stage, spoiler alert, I mean, if you're listening to this, you probably have already seen him or not planning to see him, or type who doesn't look at the set list. So spoiler alert, if you made it this far and don't want specifics ruined and you're just planning on seeing him. But stage, huge setup. He's got, like, a really long runway. It's got multiple big kind of, like, square setups in it. The main stage has this huge curtain that I thought they used really cool in ways. They were projecting things onto it. Kendrick's out there, which I didn't find until, like, I was like, this, he's playing this couple songs in, because I've seen him once before, but it was at a small festival in Atlanta years ago. I think it was like 2013. So it would have been like Good Kid, Mad City era. He came out with a band. It was on the smallest stage at the festival, played like four songs, went off, came off the stage, and we're like, is that it? Is it over? Came back on, played like two more songs, then, like, left. I was like, okay. So it was, like, cool. It was like when he was out there, because it was always cool when you see a rapper with a live band. sets them apart. Cause you know, most just have a DJ, they have a backtrack. And this time I was like a couple songs in and he's out there on the stage by himself with the dancers. And I was like, okay, he doesn't have the live band anymore. It's a bigger show. There's more production. And then like a couple songs in, I was listening. I was like, that's a live instrument. Like he pulled out the piano. Yeah. I was like, is he actually playing or is he just like screwing around? And I was like hearing the notes, like, no, someone, at least even if it's not him, like somebody's playing that piano live. And I noticed, like, I don't know if you could see it easier because you were on the floor. I noticed, like, tucked away in the dark corner, there was like a guy drumming. I was like, oh, there's the live band. Like, and that immediately, even though I was having a good time already, like dramatically uplifted the show again in a way. I was like, oh, this is a whole production. Like, even though they're tucked away in the corner, this is a different type of rap show. Like you were talking about some of the best rap shows you've seen, some of the best concerts with J. Cole and stuff. That kind of element like bumped it over and the rest of the show. I think this was the best rap show I've ever seen. Like dang, Travis bro. Scott's Astroworld was amazing just on a production level and energy. Eminem, not going to lie, I saw him headline Lollapalooza. Had some expectations going in because, you know, being a white kid of our generation, I loved Eminem. But he was so much fun, like blew me away. He also had a live band. Who else? Tyler, the Creator, blew away my, I had like low expectations for him just because I'm not as into him as most people who were going to his show were. And I was blown away by the energy there. But Kendrick had a different level. I still haven't seen Kanye because it's Kanye. Yeah. We don't know what happens there. But Kendrick set himself apart, just the elements of, with the dancers, with the stage, the production, some of the ways they use the projections and just the elements to it, no pun intended, to the show with the band were amazing. How did some of the stage production, the show production, and those things come across to you?
Yeah, I think I noticed that with the drummer too. Like it was at the Spectrum Center and like obviously like stadiums, they're tunnels, like locker room area type deal. And yeah, dude, it's wild. Like I think when people talk about Kanye, they talk about just how meticulous he is and how like every detail has to be exactly like he wants it. And he'll be super over the top with just how he sees things in his head. So in his head, like he wants to execute that out. And I think Kendrick is of a similar vein. I feel like most artists, especially of that caliber, like you kind of have to be to be at that level. But I think it really came out in a neat way last night during the show or for the show. I think, yeah, I love kind of, I think they played All Right. Not trying to jump ahead of the conversation, but like they played All Right and then kind of like had the
the cube thing.
Yeah, which was dope. I thought that was cool.
And, yeah, just for like an explanation, like there was a kind of like a hermetically sealed type of tube case thing, like a cube. It looked like an ice cube, but it was like a plastic thing that at first was just hovering over the stage, came down and like went over Kendrick and some dancers. And they basically did like a live COVID test and then like filled up with smoke, lights and stuff. He did a couple songs in it. And then the thing rose up, like the stage lifted. So he was elevated, which was really cool. And like back down. So that was kind of like a cool stage production element that you didn't even notice at first. And then you notice one element and then like another part of it. And like you said, it was just so meticulous, right? Like it, even though it's just a cool thing, like, oh, what if the stage moves up? And that's something you might've seen before in other concerts, but he like added a different kind of meaning to it in a way.
Yeah. And the steppers were fire, bro. Like they added so much to the show. The dancers, I guess, because yeah, they're like, I don't know how he found them, but like they just added so much value to the overall production. And yeah, man, it was a performance. Like I thought I was like at a like a play, honestly. Yeah. Like I really felt like I was like at a theater and like I was watching, you know, a Broadway type of play, just the way everything was set up and orchestrated, man. It was, bro, honestly, like not even trying to be, and like, I'm still kind of on this post concert high, but, like definitely the best big venue, concert I've ever been to.
Yeah. And then, so like the first part of the set, he comes out, he starts with United in Grief. And like I said, there's like, you're talking about the steppers come out. And I thought that was honestly one of their best moments. They kind of had like a March little thing going before Kendrick comes out. That was really dope. Mm-hmm. He jumps into United in Grief and then goes right into N95, kind of changes the element, you know, starts with a little bit of that introspection, and like the piano part was really cool to me. And then it kind of ties it all together, because at the end he ends up back on the piano and is like playing it, and it's kind of like a more intimate moment, and like these lights come down out of nowhere that you're like, those were there the whole time, why wasn't he using those earlier? So mm-hmm. It was really cool. Then he went into N95, then into Element, brings back an old track. It was a good balance because he plays basically the whole album of Mr. Morale, and you always kind of, when you're going to see an artist at this level who's had enough of a discography to have like throwbacks, it kind of always had that balance of like, all right, don't play too much of the new stuff, you know. But I thought he did it in such a way that was really impressive to kind of like keep the crowd going, and played enough of the old stuff and mixed it in a way. So he, like, he went in Element, back to Worldwide Steppers, Backseat Freestyle, Rich Spirit, and that was kind of like the first break into like the first interlude. I thought, of course, Backseat Freestyle was sick, you know.
That was great.
The pyros going in.
That was wild, bro.
What were some of your like highlights of the first little section when you're kind of like taking it all in of like, oh, this is gonna be a show?
Yeah, not real quick, like what did you think? This was like my first kind of like moment that I jotted down in my head. What did you think of the puppet that he had?
Yeah, it was, I mean, because it starts like with that way, like it's the first thing you see, and I kind of like get like some of the interest, like the elements to it. I think part of me was a little like, oh, that's cool, and you kind of hope it like doesn't last the whole time. I know, at least for me specifically, there was a little bit, I have a little bit of pre like conceptions to it, because Coldplay on their current tour has a thing where they're doing with puppets, and reading about it before going to the show, I'm like, this is dumb. Like, why are they having puppets out there? Like, just, you guys are one of the greatest bands in the world. Like, just sing or whatever. And then when I saw it live, I was like, okay, I kind of get it. It wasn't my favorite part of the show, but, you know, I kind of like understood. So I had seen, oddly, I've seen like puppets used in concerts before. So I kind of had a like, okay, whatever. Like, I'm not trying to judge the artist. Why? What did you think?
Yeah, no, I could have done without it. Yeah. I could have done without. But yeah, again, it's like, bro, like I'm such a stan, man. So like anything that you like, I just respect, and everything that he does has so much meaning. And yeah, there's just like a lot of purpose behind it. But that specifically, I was like, okay. Yeah. Let me continue to vibe out, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, that's what I did. I think, bro, when he played, I forget what song he played before. I have to go back and look at my phone, but like when he went into Element.
Yeah, it was N95 into Element.
Okay, yeah. He went into Element, and like, yeah, bro, like they, like the place went crazy. Spectrum Center, like it was like, sheesh. And like, honestly, I forgot about that song on Damn.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, because it's hard. It's such a good track.
I had the same way with DNA too. Like,
yeah,
I don't know why, but DNA was the one like stuck out like from the whole show. I was like, how did I forget about that song? Mm-hmm. Like, songs, I was listening to it on repeat.
Yeah, fire. But yeah, no, Element, when he went into that was just such a good moment. Backseat Freestyle, like you mentioned, that was with the lights. And like I think, like I was talking to one of my friends last week, and she was like super preppy, like white chick, like it's very like, has a good palette when it comes to music. But she was like, yeah, like what's that one song by Kendrick Lamar? And it was Backseat Freestyle. So I feel like even for the people that aren't necessarily,
she was probably introduced to it when Taylor Swift rapped it.
But yeah, like I think that's one song that sticks with people that are kind of like outside of the rap bubble as far as fanhood goes. So that was also an awesome moment. Trying to think of Loyalty. Yeah, that was a fan favorite as well. Money Trees, My goodness. Money Trees. Man, like I went back on YouTube this morning. I was like, did they drop a video for this? And they didn't. But I was like, yo, that just took me back to like a whole different lifetime, man.
Yeah, it's honestly my favorite Kendrick song.
It's so good. It's so good.
I was hyped. I could tell because there's moments too where like a song comes on, right? And obviously there's the big ones that everyone gets hyped for, but there's some where you can always hear like someone gets like super hyped for, you know, like that's their song. And there's ones where like everyone is hyped, but there's like, you can always like see someone around you like, oh, this is my song. Like that was me on Money Trees. I like couldn't wait for him to play that. So then the next section, and when I say like there's a pause and an interlude, like you said, it's kind of like a play, right? Because I mean, I don't know if this was intentional, and obviously Kendrick's one of those artists who, like you said, doesn't speak a lot, so he kind of leaves it up for your interpretation, but you know that there's definitely something he was thinking in his head because he put so much thought into it that I felt like, especially because in that middle section he played so much of his older stuff, that it was a little bit of like coming out onto the scene, you know, getting the crowd hype, but also just kind of like him expressing himself, just starting out like where he came from before he got to there. And then that middle section was all about when he found money, when he was dealing with those lust issues, when he was at the top, you know, doing some of that big, like, oh, I'm one of the biggest rappers in the game, I'm one of the biggest music artists in the game, like kind of that era of Kendrick, of where he was dealing with that stuff. And honestly, it was some of the most hype parts of the show, which makes a lot of sense. You know, he's kind of, you're like on that high, and it was Humble. And then you threw in Mad City in there, which is, again, is one of the greatest live songs. Just that, is that unison of the crowd going together is crazy. He threw in, you know, Bitch Don't Kill My Vibe, which I thought was my favorite part with the involving the dancers, where he's kind of like going around by himself. And there's like one woman in red who's just like following him around. And I thought it was a really cool element of him like trying to escape that, like, you know, lust that he talks about so much. Dang. His albums. I thought that was really deep, bro. Cool element.
I didn't even catch that.
And then, but my favorite part of that middle section before he kind of gets into, it's like that section, and then the next section's kind of like goes really hard, and then at the end it kind of gets back to like some of what Miss Morale is talking about. So that middle section, my favorite part though was King Kunta. That's when I really knew like this dude's playing with a live band. It just had a funk to it that didn't, you know, doesn't really come across in most hip-hop. You don't hear a lot of songs like that anymore. And live was even more so of like, this is doesn't belong in this era. You know, it was like of a different time, but he brings it together. And me and my brother were going him. And after that song ended, we were like, that song slaps. Like, why don't more people talk about that song?
Yeah, no, that. Yeah, I think like he was really the, even with All Right. And I think that kind of comes after this middle section. Yeah. But just like the jazzy chords. And I remember just like hearing like specifically with that song, kind of like to your point about King Kunta, just like Pharrell kind of like the and just like the horns, the drums, and like what was this 2013, 2014, 2015? Yeah, like very like Low End Theory-esque, like A Tribe Called Quest, like it just very like the Afrocentric type of hip hop, which to hear 20 plus years later, and then nowadays in 2022, like it's just, yeah, like not many artists, I feel like, have that in their bag. And I don't think anybody can execute with that type of production, with that specific sound like Kendrick can.
Yeah.
So definitely adds a ton, especially in person. My goodness.
Yeah. And then the next section, and when I'm talking about like these little pauses and breaks and stuff, like you were talking about earlier, how he's not the type, you know, like Tyler, the Creator, is really good on stage because he tells stories, you know, he kind of like calls people out from the crowd. He'll go on a rant about something and it's funny. Like he's almost, you know, like a stand-up comedian anyway. He's entertaining in that way. Obviously, Kanye West was famous for his onstage rants. You never knew how long they would go on. A guy like Paul McCartney has his set stories that he tells and like adds a little bit to the music, you know, as he catches his breath. Kendrick Lamar does not do that. The man spits every bar of every line. It's like insane how he just goes from like track to track, like doesn't skip a beat. I don't know how this man still has breath. And this section right here was like really just showed that, of like DNA, Into Count Me Out, Money Trees, Brings Out Love into All Right was just mind blowing, of no breaks, just spitting like every line. The only time I've ever seen anything like close to it was watching Kanye West 2011 Coachella set, where he's out there just sweating and he's spitting every bar like no breaks. But this was the most impressive like breath performance I've ever seen from a rapper live.
Is the Kanye reference you just made, is that when he like ran across the screen or the stage during Touch the Sky, or was that a different festival?
I think that might've been different. Yeah, I think that might've been a different one.
Okay, damn, I'm tripping. But dude, yeah, no, so I was watching a video of Kirk Franklin he's touring with Maverick City right now. It's like a Christian collective.
Yeah, I heard
Like they just, he's on the Shade Room, of course, the Shade Room, just anytime they can try to get clout, they will. But like, bro can really move. And he was out there like doing his little two-step, twisting and twirling in some Chelsea boots. And yeah, bro, like they're like, these dudes are, and ladies also, like they're athletes in their own right. You know, like that is not easy to have the breath control, to have the recall to memory, to, you know, articulate your lyrics in the same way you are in the booth while, you know, trying to be a showman. It's a lot, man. And it's impressive, honestly. It's so impressive.
And then the last section goes into Mirror, Loyalty, Silent Hill, brings out Keem, who opened, who, if you want to say a couple things about Keem, I was blown away. Baby Keem is going to be here for a while. He is definitely of that next generation. Mm-hmm. Dude can spit. He can perform. He held his own on the stage with Kendrick going back and forth. That song was one of the highlights, which was crazy considering Kendrick's catalog. And then he ends with Crown, Mr. Morale, and Savior, which is a lot more of, you know, not, he doesn't end with one of his popular songs, which is kind of out of left field, something only an artist that big can do. And you're looking at the set, you're just like, oh, he ends with that. But it was really cool in the moment because he ends, like I was talking about, back on the piano. It's like just him. And, you know, that message of, I'm so iconic. You all are here to see me. You put me on this stage, but I'm not your savior. And like that kind of message of that perspective was really cool, and how it ended. And he's on the piano and it disappears into the ground. And that was curtains fall. And like you said, it was like a play. I thought it was really cool.
Yeah, no. And like, just to hit on Keem real quick, like he's really him. He's really him. And like, I didn't like his latest project. It was okay. You know, me personally, like they're obviously Family Ties is a smash, but overall, he just has a lot of pressure with, you know, kind of him being the highlight of PG Lang and just, you know, this new label, and just a lot of eyes, a lot of attention is going to be on him, but I think he's definitely going to live up to it. And like his fans, man, like, to be real, like there are mad people that ask me, like, who are you here to see? Kendrick?
Yeah. I was blown away. Like, what?
Like, what are you talking about, yo? Like, so I think that just speaks to, you know, just kind of like his style, his voice, so unique. I think I think like Kendrick's literally the perfect person to kind of like guide him as he continues. But I think sky's the limit for sure. He'll definitely be around for a minute.
Yeah. All right, that kind of wraps it up. Before we get out of here, favorite song from the set? You can only get one.
Dang, B.
While you think, I'll go first. I think I'd probably, Money Trees is my favorite Kendrick song, but I think live at the show, my favorite moment was DNA. I was just blown away by like spitting. Everyone was going ham, forgot how hard that song went, some of the elements that went behind it. I thought that was like really like where the crowd was peaking before like All Right and stuff. So I think maybe pick one, DNA.
Yeah, no, I hear that. I think, frick, just one. All Right. I think All Right, like people kept on talking about all right in the crowd, and when was that dropped, like it just, the place went crazy. So All Right for me.
Yeah, it is great when the crowd starts chanting for like one song the whole time, and then the artist like finally, because you know they're like teasing it, and they finally like deliver. That is a good
That buildup's crazy.
Yeah, that initial reaction, like when the crowd, like when a first song comes on, and like that note, and you hear that, oh, like that one pop is so great. There's only like a few songs, you know, usually every artist usually has one that can do it. And that moment is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that wraps it up. Luke, I appreciate you joining me. You got to get back to work doing fun things. That wraps up the Big Steppers tour, Kendrick Lamar and Baby Keem review. If you like that, I might be doing a couple more. Hopefully I get to the weekend tomorrow, maybe Bad Bunny on Friday. Maybe I'll get some reviews of those if I make it there and the concert tickets aren't too expensive, which they are, but we never, there's nothing better to spend money on, right?
Yeah, no, definitely worth every penny, no matter how much bread you drop.
Exactly. All right, Luke, I appreciate you joining me. Appreciate the time. That is the Kendrick Lamar review. Please join us next time. Listen, rate, review, subscribe, whatever, all the good stuff. Tell your friends, the Course and Course podcast. See you next time.